hope you'll be able to stick around all morning. John Ash and I welcoming Chef Cal Peternel from Chez Panisse to the program today. Cal coming up from the Bay Area to sing with John and me to celebrate the release of his second cookbook. It's called A Recipe for Cooking. His other book, the first one, 12 Recipes, New York Times said was about the best cookbook of the year. Back after this with hour number two of Garden Talk with Dave and special guest Butterfly Maven Julie West. This is KSRO Santa Rosa.
From ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Winter doesn't officially begin until Wednesday, but unofficially it is here with a vengeance in much of the country today. ABC's Ryan Burrow in Chicago looking at lots of blinking cancellations on the board.
More than 1,000 flights canceled early Saturday across the U.S. in Chicago. Hundreds of flights preemptively canceled at O'Hare and Midway airports ahead of what's expected to be a second wave of snow in 24 hours. Bitterly cold temperatures then settle into the upper Midwest. Sunday's high forecast to be around 0 degrees. Ryan Burrow, ABC News, Chicago.
And a deadly crash in Baltimore after a tractor trailer on I-95 went off a bridge, fell onto the street below, burst into flame. Chief Roman Clark with the Baltimore City Fire Department.
We have confirmed 2 deaths due to this accident.
And several others injured. The two candidates in the presidential election respond to the mounting evidence that Russian hackers tried to interfere in last month's election. ABC's Mary Bruce is in Washington.
Russia reportedly intended to sway the election in Donald Trump's favor, but Trump continues to deny U.S. intelligence, questioning if Russia was involved at all. Weighing in for the first time, Hillary Clinton said Putin was trying to settle old scores, that he held a grudge after she challenged the integrity of Russia's own election.
President Obama, his final news conference before he left on vacation, calling out Republicans who he said are failing even now to acknowledge the seriousness of Russia's involvement in the U.S. elections. He said Ronald Reagan would roll over in his grave. Along with the first family, Mr. Obama now on his final vacation as president, his annual Christmas time trip to Hawaii. Not all fun and games, though, while they are meeting with the Japanese prime minister at the Pearl Harbor Memorial. All 4 inmates who broke out of a jail in rural Tennessee are back in custody this morning. But while they were on the run, authorities say 2 of them were caught on video in an attempted robbery. You're listening to ABC News.
The U.S. economy has been getting stronger, and home values have been increasing. This good economic news presents a unique financial opportunity for you. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Many of our clients have been taking cash out of their homes, a strategy that might work for you. The smart move is to refinance your mortgage right now with Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%, APR 4.51%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN to see how much we can lower your mortgage payment. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the 3rd year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030.
10 people were injured, 2 of them critically, when a car crashed into a crowded bus stop in San Francisco's Chinatown Friday. San Francisco police spokesman Robert Ruka says that the car hit 2 other vehicles before it struck a bus shelter.
Somehow that vehicle veered and hit another vehicle, and then subsequently hit the muni structure.
Police say all of the injured are expected to survive. President Joe Biden among those expected at a service to honor John Glenn at Ohio's Capitol as the space pioneer's home state, and the nation continue to honor him. Glenn died December 8th, age 95. Thousands paid their respects Friday in a public viewing of his flag-draped casket inside of Ohio's Statehouse Rotunda. A singer embroiled in a national anthem controversy got a do-over at Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia Friday night. ABC's Mona Rivera explains.
7th Streeter finally got to sing the national anthem at a 76ers game. It was 2 months ago that she posted a video online after being told not to sing.
I'm at the 76ers game to sing the national anthem, and the organization is telling me that I can't because I'm wearing a We Matter jersey.
After a firestorm, the 76ers apologized. Streeter told ESPN Friday it felt good to be invited back with the jersey.
You know, I'm happy that we were able to turn an unfortunate situation into something really positive.
And the crowd cheered her at Friday night's game. Mona Rivera, ABC News.
This is ABC News.
Hi, I'm Bruce Fabrizio, inventor of Simple Green, the iconic cleaning formula known around the globe. Since being introduced to households and businesses over 35 years ago, the family of Simple Green products has grown. But one thing all of them share is my full commitment to their excellence. Simple Green! Try a Simple Green product today, and if you're not 100% satisfied, I'll refund your money. Visit us at simplegreen.com. Simple Green! Simple
Green! Dave Packer, ABC News.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Sunny skies today, topping out at 52 inland and on the coast. Clear skies tonight, low 31, 33 on the shores. Sunny for Sunday at 56, 54 in Bodega Bay. Monday has clear skies, topping out at 57, 55 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Garden Talk and the Good Food Hour are brought to you by the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market.
I like plants.
Gladiolus.
Better than people plants.
And magnolias.
They never do evil plants.
And begonias.
All they ever want is to grow. Smarter than us.
Violets.
They make a living in without any fuss.
Us.
Water, sun, and air.
And
are all they need to grow. Do I have to get specific? I think plants
we are so terrific.
Plants are generous souls.
I'm sorry, I was relating a bobcat story of 10 years ago to Dave Fazio. I'm Steve Gardner along with, I was going to say, Gwen Kilcher, but it's Dave Fazio in for Gwen today on Garden Talk at KSRO with special guest, Miss Julie West. Hello, Miss Julie West, our butterfly expert.
Hello, Steve. Hello, Dave.
Nice to have you back, as it has been our pleasure to have you in the KSRO greenhouse for many, many years. We're going to get into butterflies, and we also want to go to calls as soon as possible, 636-1350. We don't have anyone on hold, which is nice. We didn't have to hold anybody over from the 9 o'clock hour. We're Steve at KSRO.com. Simple as that. If you have any garden-related questions, want to know about attracting butterflies to your home, what plants to do, what to feed them, so much information about butterflies. Before we get into butterflies, you mentioned the plant that's really not supposed to survive the winter.
Yes.
But somehow does.
It's the lantana. It's the purple. I have the purple trailing lantana, and I typically lost it every winter. But then I planted it along our concrete retaining wall, and by golly, it survives. In fact, I saw a red admiral butterfly nectaring on it a week or so ago when it was warmer weather on a sunny day. And it's flowering. It loves the rain. And I'm no longer wasting my money by losing it every year.
And that's because it's retaining all the sunshine during the day.
Yes, the heat of the concrete is keeping its roots warm enough to survive our winter.
And you also referenced something you remember Dave saying in one of his classes many years ago about another plant. That was surviving.
Yeah, he mentioned a bougainvillea. He said the best bougainvillea, or one of the largest ones he's ever seen, was on McDonald Avenue, and it was on the south side of the house next to a chimney. And it was that the bricks of the chimney that likely kept the heat and allowed it to overwinter, because they normally don't do well in our climate.
Remarkable. So when that's why we're always careful when we say, oh, that's not going to survive the winter. where is it planted?
Yes, it makes a difference.
What's the exposure? What's nearby that might be retaining heat? 636-1350. So there's so much to talk about in the world of butterflies. I know you've led the monarch counts for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And they happen several times a year, don't they? There's not just one
no,
time.
No, Thanksgiving.
That's the big one?
The monarch count is usually around Thanksgiving, and it's sponsored by the Xerces Society and Mia Monroe. From Muir Woods usually heads that up. We used to have a population over at the Bodega Dunes campground, but conditions changed and they're not there anymore.
I remember out at Sea Ranch and places like that.
Yeah, the conditions, when they change, then they have to find someplace else that for protection and stuff. It happened at Natural Bridges State Park in Santa Cruz. Trees came down, the city built a parking lot. And lo and behold, the population of monarchs went from like 80,000 to 7,000 because they lost that protection from the winter and storms and that type of thing. It makes a difference.
The previous caller talked about bees being affected by, of course, the chlorpyrifos and the pesticide use and the colony collapse. Is anything happening similar to explain the reduction in monarch population?
What's really sad about the monarchs is that in the 1990s, they counted about 1.2 million. In 2015, that population was down to 271,000. Mm-hmm. Now, that's here on the West Coast. You do need to understand that the monarchs, the Continental Divide is a rule of thumb. It's not an exact science, but those that are east of the Continental Divide, those are the ones that go to the mountains above Mexico City, and they're losing their habitat from logging, and you know they're in the snow, and you read about them in the paper. Our monarchs are west of the Continental Divide, and they're the ones that migrate over winter along the California coast, kind of starting around Sonoma County, Bolinas. There's a population or two down in San Francisco, but Santa Cruz, Pacific Grove, Santa Barbara, Goleta, Pismo Beach. Pismo Beach, the first time I was there in 1997, they had 200,000 monarchs. And then the last time we were there, they had 20,000.
Didn't the Pacific Grove have a butterfly festival for many, many years?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Santa Cruz, when you go into Santa Cruz because of the Natural Bridges State Park is a monarch sanctuary. They have monarch flags on all their little light posts and stuff, you know, because they're proud of having the monarch. But if we don't help the monarchs by planting milkweed in our gardens, which is Asclepias, they may end up on the endangered species list. Right now, they're on the watch list.
Is milkweed the best one plant that we could think of to plant to attract butterflies?
Well, yes, because it does double duty as both a larval plant for monarch butterflies. It's the only plant monarchs will lay their eggs on because it's the milky sap of the milkweed that makes them taste bad when a bird takes a bite. And that milky, that toxicity, butterflies are smarter than you know.
Wow.
But that toxicity, that bad taste, it stays with the monarch from the moment it comes out of its egg and is a caterpillar, goes through the instar, through metamorphosis, when it emerges as an adult butterfly. That sap, milky sap, stays with it the whole time. And other butterflies mimic a monarch, the viceroy, the queen, but they don't taste bad, but the birds don't know the difference.
Oh, that's interesting. So
they do mimicry.
Mm-hmm. So this is remarkable. Does a milkweed last for year to year?
It depends. I have some native ones, Asclepias speciosa, which is showy milkweed. I have Asclepias fascicularis, which is narrow leaf milkweed. And I also have, I have Curaçavica, which is tropical milkweed. And that's the one you find usually in nurseries and things.
Is that the one you would sell, Dave, at Sonoma Mission Gardens?
That's one of the ones,
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite popular because it's got a fairly showy flower on it.
Right. What matters is the fact is that it's an Asclepias. And what's good about a milkweed, not only is it the larval plant for the monarch, it's a great nectar plant for a variety of insects and butterflies.
When's the best time to plant them?
Spring, usually.
Springtime, best time.
Spring or early summer.
Full sun, partial sun?
Full sun.
Little sun. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that'd be one plant we would definitely want to have in our garden.
Yes.
And is there a source online we can find out about different milkweed plants?
Yeah, monarchwatch.org, I believe, on the back of my list. Yeah, Monarch Watch, they promote the Way Station certification program, but I believe you can also get seeds or plugs for your area. Mm-hmm.
So that's a good resource. You're also this marvelous sheet you brought in, free educational publications available from the National Garden Clubs. This sheet that you gave me, is this sheet available?
Yeah, I can email it to you.
Okay, that would be great. Then we can put that on the KSRO Garden site website.
Yes, yes. Okay,
this is wonderful because you've got a pollinator power, the garden club, inviting butterflies into your garden. That sounds like a great resource, gardenclub.org.
And those are all free for anyone to download.
Okay. You pointed out something that interesting I never really thought of is butterflies are pretty much at the bottom of the list as far as being tasty food for predators, aren't they? Don't have many natural defenses.
That's correct.
And so in reference to that, Gwen and I were talking about holiday gift ideas last week.
Yes.
You happened to be listening to the show. And I said, well, here's something funny, a butterfly puddling stone. What do you think about that, Gwen? And she said, well, that looks interesting. And then we kind of went on. But you thought this is a good idea.
Well, you can spend $24.95 for a butterfly puddling stone, or you can take a saucer, a shallow terracotta or plastic saucer, and put sand and mud in it, you know, keep it damp, mm-hmm. because butterflies need minerals and nutrients in addition to nectar and pollen.
Okay. So you can save the $25.
You can save the $25, but it is cute.
It is cute.
I did buy it.
Oh, you did?
And right now, that little puddle part is full of water.
Oh, all right. So good. So you could endorse this. This would be a nice part. What
it's
else?
Pretty.
What else would you not endorse as a butterfly related Christmas present?
Do not waste your money on butterfly houses.
Any something that's called butterfly houses.
Why or not? Butterfly hotel. Because the only thing that lives in there are spiders. And spiders are predators of butterflies, especially caterpillars.
Do not buy those for someone you think might be love butterflies.
No.
Not. Okay.
No.
They check in, but they don't check out for butterflies.
Right. Okay. Well, they won't go in an enclosed space like that.
Okay. But the puddler, Julie endorses the puddler.
Or make your own.
From Kenwood, California. Helen, welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. How do you feel about topping a very tall birch tree? It's clumping. It's one of three. And it's about 30 years old, but it's so tall and sort of leaning over into my neighbor's yard, and I was wondering if we could top it. What do you think?
You can top it. It's just that it's going to take away from the natural growth appearance of the tree.
Yeah. It's like a clumping one. There's three together.
Uh-huh.
Do you know that one?
Well, generally the birches, they have a tendency to either train, so you've got three stems or three they'll plant three trees in a cluster or whatever.
Yeah, that's what it did, yes.
Yeah, which has got to actually do with the biblical significance rather than the tree itself. I had some lady tell me one day, she says, I got to buy three of these because they won't grow one plant by itself. But they do.
They do.
Yeah. And
so I shouldn't maybe cut it?
No, if it's getting too tall and it's dangerous and looks like it's going to fall over and land on your roof or something, you could top it or you could have a tree person come in and look at it, and they would advise you as to how to cut it so it doesn't destroy the tree any more than necessary.
I see.
But I remember years ago at the K Street Mall in Sacramento, the landscape architect had planted birch trees because they're fairly tall and thin.
Right.
And the gardeners, after about 7 years, had gone through and they topped them all and because they were getting too tall as far as they were concerned. And boy, talk about a bunch of ugly trees.
Yeah. Oh, they look ugly? Yeah, it ruins the shape of them, doesn't it?
You're losing the natural growth.
It's not going over any roof or anything like that.
Yeah, if it's not a danger, I probably wouldn't get overly concerned about it.
But, okay, all right, that's fine for me.
But it could be, I mean, you can top them, and it's not going to kill the tree. It's just that it's going to change the overall growth pattern on it.
Right, yes, I see what you mean. Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Bye.
And thank you for sharing that story, Dave. That was very illustrative. Dear Steve and Dave and Julie, all of our milkweeds were devastated by millions of orange aphids. Mm-hmm. Help! Exclamation mark. Three of them. This is from Gary Schultz of Occidental.
Ladybugs love to eat aphids.
Yeah, because if they use anything to kill the aphid, it's going to affect the overall butterfly habitat. And so ladybugs are probably the safest and most logical thing. Also, too, a lot of times when you've got asclepias or milkweeds planted in an area where it's a little bit moister or a little bit more shady, they tend to be very prone to the aphids. And the aphids take on a kind of an orangish-red color. Yes. Because of the plant.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, I have milkweeds planted in various places in my garden. It's not all in one spot. So if the aphids find one cluster, these other clusters are fine.
They don't go from one to the other?
No, because I have them spaced. I mean, I have them in different areas. I may have some in half barrels. I may have some in the ground over here. I may have some by the driveway, by the roses over here. You know, I have them in all... I have them in several places in clumps and clusters, and the aphids, I have not found where the aphids find every single cluster. Mm. Just one or two, but I have that problem too. And I just promote ladybugs. When I don't have enough ladybugs, which I do have in my own garden, I'll go out and buy them, you know, the bag, and release them at sunset. And they do a pretty good job in munching on those guys.
Yep.
So really, natural control is what you would specify. Really, a chemical control is just not going to work.
Any chemical control that's going to affect an aphid is going to affect your butterfly.
Okay. Yep. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Another question, comment about bees from Bruce from Sebastopol. That leaves three open lines, 636-1350 or steve@ksro.com. Special guest today, the butterfly queen of Sonoma County, Julie West, who spent a lifetime promoting butterfly conservation, how to attract butterflies to your home and garden. We'll have a lot more when we come back at 11:05. It's Chef John Ash visiting us in the KSRO kitchen today as we welcome Chez Panisse chef Cal Petronell, who's got a brand new book. It's called A Recipe for Cooking. A very lively, brilliant chef will be sitting in with us this morning.
Golden State Warriors Play-by-Play is sponsored in part by Hansel BMW on 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
The holidays are here, and there's no better place to help you create the perfect environment than the Gift Horse in Healdsburg. Whether it's table, kitchen, or home decor, we can inspire the decorator in you. Hi, I'm Carol, owner of the Gift Horse. I invite you to come see all the beautiful and hard-to-find items we've added this year.
The Gift Horse Home Store.
The Gift Horse Home Store.
Home decor and more.
Our store is packed with great gifts this year. At the Gift Horse, you'll find something for everyone on your list. Come in and see our magical Christmas displays and enjoy festive shopping. We offer gift wrapping and plenty of free parking.
From our door to your door.
We're next to Garrity's Hardware in Healdsburg.
The Gift Horse Home Store.
The Gift Horse Home Store.
Home decor and more.
Open every day 9 to 6.
Western Tree. Hi, it's Justin with Western Tree. Western Tree is the North Bay's leading tree service for many reasons. Our innovative approach to tree removal, continued research, and practice of tree health management really sets us apart. We've pioneered a unique green waste program and recycle every scrap of material left from a job into a usable product. At Western Tree, we're passionate about the quality of our work and provide the highest level of service. For tree removal, vegetation management, stump grinding, tree trimming, land clearing, log hauling, view restoration, brush chipping, and emergency tree service, call Western Tree. No matter how big or small the job, our professional team will get it done right at an affordable price. Licensed, bonded, and insured, Western Tree is proud to be a Diamond Certified Company. Call us today for a free estimate. We're Western Tree. Excellent service is in our nature.
707-235-7884. Yeah!
Why use CarClickGo.com to find your next vehicle? You'll get access to the most new and used cars in Sonoma County, like a 2011 Toyota Camry for less than $11,000 at Freeman Toyota, a 2013 Chevy Silverado $1,500 for less than $30,000 at Platinum Chevrolet, or get a 2003 convertible VW Beetle for less than $5,000 at Hansel Auto Group. Whatever you're searching for is just a short drive away by using CarClickGo.com. Find more options than you can imagine.
CarClickGo.com. He's helped businesses on five continents succeed, expand, and profit, guided large corporations and small businesses. He's shared the secrets of successful advertising with over 40,000 business owners, and now he wants to share them with you. His name is Matt Hackett, international speaker and media expert, and he's coming to Sonoma County to speak the week of January 30th. Learn the secrets the world's largest corporations use and how you can apply them to your business. Go to KSRO.com to reserve your seat today.
Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Okay, I know what you're thinking. Is Steve lost his mind? Huh? What is Steve playing Jimi Hendrix for on Garden Talk? Well, are you ready? Everywhere, Dave is.
I'd like to know.
Yeah. Okay. Newfound plant named for music legend Jimi Hendrix. I just got this from Science Magazine, dated 12/16/16. Music icon Jimi Hendrix. Botanists have named a newly discovered species of rare flowery succulent after him. A study has just been released. The plant called Dudleya Hendrixii is found only in a sliver of Baja California, Mexico, in an area called the Colonet Peninsula, known as Punta Colonet in Spanish. D. hendrixii is thin and stalky and typically grows to be about 1 foot tall. The plant has succulent leaves and flowers that are hot pink and white, said study co-author Mark Dodero, who discovered the plant while in graduate school at San Diego State University. Dodero now works as a senior biologist at San Diego's environmental consulting firm. Dodero and study co-author Stephen McCabe, a retired botanist from the University of California, Santa Cruz, jointly decided to name the plant in Hendrix's honor. The idea for the name took root after Dodero realized he was listening to Jimi Hendrix's song, Voodoo Child, at the very moment he found the pinkish plant. Dehydrangea is a summer deciduous, meaning it dies in the summer and regrows in the fall, the researchers say. Although Dehydrangea is a new addition to the science world, it already needs the help of scientists and conservationists. That's because its habitat, which is only a couple of acres, is threatened by grazing, farmers, off-road traffic, housing developments, the researchers said. Dehydrangea is hardly the only species inspired by music. For instance, the damselfly Uma Guma is named for the 1969 Pink Floyd double album Uma Guma, which is British slang for sex. Life Science magazine reported this in May, and in addition, the tarantula Aphanopelma Johnny Cassius, named for singer and songwriter Johnny Cash, because the spider's dark coloring reminded researchers of Johnny Cash's head-to-toe black attire. Live Science reported this in February 2016. So now you know.
Wow.
Huh?
That's
pretty wild stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amazing what we learn on Garden Talk.
That's right. I hope she wasn't being facetious there.
No.
So now you know. You learned this first on Garden Talk this morning.
Thank you for sharing
that. The Jimi Hendrix plant. And now you'll know. When there's a lull in the conversation at the cocktail party, This is where you drop in this type of information. Bruce from Sebastopol, thank you for holding through this astounding news bulletin that I had to share with everybody. Welcome, Bruce.
Hi. I had a question. I am going to plant maybe like a quarter of an acre that's sort of just a field right now. So it turns brown in the middle of the summer. In a lot of sages and lavender, I guess I'm going to put a little Asclepia in there. and Toyon and Manzanita, stuff that's deer-proof and real low water. And so my question is, first of all, when would you suggest is the best time to do that? And also, your previous caller talked about the possibility, or you were talking about the possibility of some of these plants being poisoned to bees, and I hadn't considered that. So I might get some of these plants from Friedman's, and I might get a lot of them from the jail,
jail industry, yeah.
Yeah, and so would that be? Is that a potential problem?
It is a potential. I don't think it's a high potential, but it is a potential problem. When you first said poison to bees, I thought, well, is he referring to like the California native buckeye or something that, each tree once every 3 years is poisonous to the bees, but the bees are aware of that. And it's not like all of them are poisonous every third year. It's each individual tree is on its own cycle. But I would think if you're careful about what you're buying or what you're growing from seed, you should be fine with most of that. And planting an area that you're either going to do very little dry season watering in or whatever, even if you're using California natives, ideally it would be best to get it started in the fall, just prior to the first rains. That way they've got a chance to get themselves somewhat established before the dry season comes on. Because if you put them out there in the summertime, and even though they are sold to you as a drought-tolerant or a drought-resistant plant, you can't plant them in the ground and walk away from them. It just doesn't work, even California natives. Most of the California natives need the first two or three seasons with some augmented summer watering or dry season watering, and slowly they can be kind of weaned off of that because their root system has got large enough so that it can pull enough moisture in to keep them alive.
Well, I was going to plant them in the early spring, and I was going to then augment them, set up a drip system, and just give them a little water through the first year or two. I mean, I did that with some lavender, and I haven't watered them now for years.
Yeah,
and they're still doing okay. So I was gonna supplement their natural water with drip, but not much. When they looked when the dirt felt like it was starting to dry out a little bit.
Yeah, if you're gonna augment the watering for the first few years and stuff, spring is fine. Early or late fall would be an excellent time too, because that way they've got all their winter to get themselves somewhat established and ready to take off in the spring. But spring would be fine if you're watering. You're just gonna have to water more frequently with a group that is planted in the spring. Mm-hmm. Than you would if with a group that was planted in the fall.
But the plant selections you mentioned, good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. His plant selection sounded good.
Yes, and the butterflies, they really like undisturbed areas. So if you're planting these, they don't like neat and tidy gardens. They'll love a quarter of an acre that's planted with all the right plants, including asclepias, and they will enjoy the fact that it's not disturbed so that they can go through all cycles, all the stages of their life cycle.
It's going to be random plantings, mm-hmm. and it's very undisturbed.
That's
the only thing marvelous. I ever do is where there's open grass, I'll cut it with a right-around mower. And as long as I can get it, and at some point, as they grow, I won't be able to. Then I'll have to, just to keep the weed part of it down until
right.
it gets overgrown.
Right, right. But no, that's a great idea.
And then I had one, two. You might give me some more recommendations besides the Schleppia, and a bee guy told me about buckwheat, I think.
Flat. Oh, yes, mm-hmm. yes, Erigeron.
Erigonia.
Erigonia.
Also, I wondered if... I was just looking at, Dave, have you seen these pulsator drippers? I just got one for frost protection for a tree, and it cuts an emitter down down to almost nothing. And I'm wondering if you'd had any experience with them, with the idea of using a very small amount of water, almost continuously, but a tiny amount of water. and a pulsator. They're called pips.
Other than a little bit of reading I've done about them, I haven't used them as of yet. It could be a very good thing, but then it sound, from what I can understand from them, it sounds like you have to have a continual water source to them. You can't just turn them on for, you know, an hour or something like that and then turn them off. They've got to be continually running in order to put out enough water to do some good for a plant. And to me, it seems like it would be better to use a regular, you know, gallon or 2 gallon or 4 gallon an hour drip emitter that would actually be run and give the plant a good soaking and then back off for several days. But that's just a personal opinion.
And I don't know if you want to back up a little bit about the buckwheat. Dave, what was the buckwheat plant that he was referring to?
Any of the buckwheats, the Aragoniums. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of native buckwheats and stuff, and there's a, they call it a tree buckwheat, but it doesn't grow that big, and a lot of little ground covers and stuff. They're great. They're great plants.
There's coastal buckwheat. There's sulfur. There's red buckwheat. There's a lot of them, and they are both larval and nectar plants. When you get 2 for 1, that's the best.
Okay. So, yes, good choice.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thanks for your call. We appreciate it, Bruce. Jerry followed up with her aphid infestation on her milkweed with a photo.
And it's
clear that this plant has been really attacked, hasn't it? And you both had some ideas about what to do at this point.
Well, you know, again, when you use any kind of a insecticide, and then this goes for organic insecticides because any kind of an insecticide kills bugs. It could somewhat affect the butterflies, even though a lot of them are not active at this time of the year. Mm-hmm. We were talking, and Julie seemed to feel that just a good hose spray, a hard hose, and washing them, and then watching closely and maybe doing it again in another 5 days or a week or something, the person probably could have some luck with basically what would be safer soap or a soap spray.
Since we've got a drying spell this week.
And as long as she's watching or they're watching that when they're spraying there are no butterflies that are out there working, that shouldn't be horribly detrimental to the butterfly population, but it would take care of the aphids for them.
Okay, because you mentioned that the ants will take these aphids under the soil and overwinter them. They farm them, basically, don't they?
Yeah, just like we take with our milk cows. We protect them from the cold in the East Coast and stick them in barns and, you know, turn them loose during the day when the sun shines.
So even if she destroys the top plant, there still may be a colony living underneath the soil
that'll be
activated with the warm weather again.
I would watch really close in the spring because if she's got that kind of an infestation, especially that close to the ground, there's probably aphids that'll be right back at her when the weather warms up.
We're ready for the half-hour break. We will be back after this with more Garden Talk. Dave Fazio, pinch-hitting for Gwen Kilcher, and special guest, butterfly enthusiast and expert, Julie West. We just cleared the lines for the first time since 9 o'clock. We'll right back to your calls, 636-1350 or Steve at KSRO following this break.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Steve Kerr, and this is the home of Golden State Warriors play-by-play, 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
James Van Praagh, world-renowned psychic medium, will be at the Center for Spiritual Living in Santa Rosa for an evening of spirit on Friday, February 10th at 7:30. This unique, one-of-a-kind evening will bring you in direct contact with the spirit world and deliver detailed messages of love, comfort, and encouragement from loved ones on the other side to members of the audience. You'll learn to open up your heart and gain a connection with your own spiritual self. You'll leave forever changed with a fresh new perspective on life and death, a stronger connection to the spirit world, and the comforting awareness that you're not alone on your spiritual journey. This event will sell out and tickets will not be sold at the door. James will also hold an all-day workshop on Saturday, February 11th. Don't miss James Van Praagh at the Center for Spiritual Living, February 10th and 11th. For more info and to buy tickets, go to steppingstonesbooksandgifts.org.
DJ Sash and Glass has been a proud family-owned and operated company since 1960. Located at 2985 Wilgen Court in Santa Rosa, DJ's is your full-service residential and commercial glass company, supplying one of the largest and most trusted names in windows and doors, Milgard. Milgard windows are custom made to order and designed to make a statement in any home. DJ's is proud to now feature the Essence Series windows from Milgard. DJ's specializes in heavy custom shower doors, custom and standard shower and tub enclosures, mirrors, skylights, and garden windows, or a simple repair to your screens, fixing a broken window, or cutting a glass piece to any size. DJ's in-house installation crew has you covered from free in-home estimates to the completion of the job. Add a touch of class to your glass with the help of DJ's. 2985 Wilgen Court. Call 546-7344 and online at djsglass.com. DJ's Sash and Glass.
Sonoma County is the place to be if you want to start or grow a business. The Sonoma County Economic Development Board has named 2016 the Year of the Entrepreneur to highlight their confidential, no-cost services. If you're looking to start, relocate, or grow a business in Sonoma County, the Economic Development Board has a new website to outline services available to you. SonomaEDB.org has the information you need to navigate the startup process or take your business to the next level. With many business development resources, the website provides links to tools, economic data, workshops, and events. It can help you connect with mentors, funding, and other entrepreneurs. The place to start is SonomaEDB.org. The Sonoma County Economic Development Board celebrating the Year of the Entrepreneur. Here to help you start, relocate, or grow your business in Sonoma County.
Dealing with dangerous winter conditions, snow, freezing rain, and getting around not easy. ABC's Ryan Burrow in Chicago looking at lots of blinking cancellations on the board.
More than 1,000 flights canceled early Saturday across the U.S. In Chicago, hundreds of flights preemptively canceled at O'Hare and Midway airports ahead of what's expected to be a second wave of snow in 24 hours. Bitterly cold temperatures then settle into the upper Midwest. Sunday's high forecast to be around 0 degrees. Ryan Burrow, ABC News, Chicago.
And a deadly crash in Baltimore after a tractor-trailer on I-95 went off a bridge, fell onto the street below, burst into flame, two dead. President-elect Donald Trump heading to Mobile, Alabama today. Final stop on his thank you tour then. Off to his Florida Mar-a-Lago estate for the holiday. President Obama already on his two-week vacation in Hawaii. Not all fun and games, though. While there, he'll have a meeting with the Japanese Prime Minister at the Pearl Harbor Memorial, the first time ever that a Japanese Prime Minister has visited there. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Sunny skies today, topping out at 52 inland and on the coast. Clear skies tonight, low 31, 33 on the shores. Sunny for Sunday at 56, 54 in Bodega Bay. Monday has clear skies, topping out at 57, 55 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Plenty of time to take your calls at 636-1350 or steve@ksro.com if you're so inclined. Julie West, the Butterfly Gal, is with us on Garden Talk this morning. And pinch hitting for Gwen Kilcher is Dave Fazio from the Sonoma Mission Gardens. 636-1350, and no one on hold at this moment. Plenty of time to get in with a private consult with Dave and Julie. So, Dave, I come into your nursery and I say, what is eating my butterfly bush? What would you tell me?
Well, that usually happens in quite often in mid to late summer. And it amazes me how many people they've bought this plant, they've planted it in their garden because they want to encourage butterflies to come in.
Okay, I'm for that. I understand that.
And I mean, when you stop and think about it, butterflies before being butterflies are caterpillars. And caterpillars chew on plants. And so sometimes they can be quite devastating to your butterfly bush, and it may not be the gorgeous-looking thing that you would like it to be.
But then it's serving its purpose.
Yes.
It's feeding the caterpillar so that you end up with more butterflies.
Okay.
Doing what was expected.
Doing its job.
Wow. Can you tell us any mysterious, wonderful story about butterflies, Julie?
We were sharing at the break that it really wasn't until the mid-'80s that the monarchs above Mexico City were discovered because the locals kept it a secret. They looked at the monarchs as lost souls, and it was Day of the Dead that they celebrated. And it wasn't until, like I said, the mid-80s they discovered those monarchs. And they to this day, they do not understand the migration. It is like the fifth generation that starts migrating, heading south. But the fourth, there's four generations that mate, lay eggs, die, and then move north. And it's that fifth generation that lives about 6 months.
And science doesn't know why.
They don't know. It usually starts in August. They don't know if it's the tilt of the earth, the magnetic field. There's lots of different theories out there, but nobody knows. That little butterfly, there is something in its genetics that trigger it to migrate.
Unbelievable. Following up on Jerry Schultz's photos, which he sent of the ladybug, hi, Dave, Steve, and Julie. Thanks for the suggestions of hose spraying and soap spraying. We did both to our patch of milkweed all summer long. All it took was 2 days. The aphids would be back with a vengeance. We ordered milkweed specific to our region and planted an area to help the monarchs. It is so discouraging to see the plants smothered with aphids, no matter how many ladybugs, hose sprayings, and soapy sprays we have tried. And the small Meyer lemon next to the milkweed patch has slowly dropped all its leaves. Research shows it could be from a residue from the aphids, possibly carried by ants. She said, geez, this is terrible.
Well, that's why I say you need to plant it in more than one place and make sure there's space in between. You know, put it in different places in your garden, and where the aphids find it in one clump of milkweed, they're not going to find it everywhere in your garden.
Do you agree that that might be the solution?
Yeah, I think that. And also, too, when you plant in more than one place, 9 times out of 10, the environment's different. There's more air movement. It's sunnier, hotter, drier. You know, something that may click why the aphids do better in certain spots or don't do better in certain spots.
So should she leave this to attract all those aphids? Because if she pulls that plant out, they may find the other milkweeds that she might be planting.
I would go buy more milkweed and plant it in different areas.
And leave this one, even though it's an aphid attractant, and it's also attacking the Meyer lemon at this point, too.
Well, it's highly unusual for lemons to be dropping leaves because of aphids. Yes, aphids do go to Meyer lemons, and they can sometimes distort your leaves a little bit, the new growth that comes out and stuff. But there's something else going on besides aphids that are causing that lemon to drop leaves.
Okay. So, Jerry, if you want to follow up about the Meyer lemon question, or you have photos of that, would that help if she sent us any photos of the Meyer lemon?
Probably. I mean, you know, it could be watering too much, too little. It could be old age in some of the citrus leaves that are falling off. There's a lot of things that will cause leaf drop in citrus.
Okay, and we certainly, it's very much, we all do sympathize and empathize with Jerry's struggle, because she's doing everything possible to decimate this aphid population, reduce it, but nothing has helped. And sometimes even our best efforts are not successful.
Yeah, and sometimes we have to learn to live with survival of the fittest. You know, I mean, she's got aphids, but does that stop the hummingbirds, the butterflies from coming in and using the Asclepias?
Well, the monarch's going to choose the female monarch circles the Asclepias usually and checks it out and makes sure it's the right plant for her to lay her eggs.
Okay.
So if there's any problem and stuff, I mean, whether or not she'll lay an egg on it, I don't know. I have not found any eggs on any of my milkweed that has an aphid problem, but I'll find the eggs on a different milkweed in a different area of my garden.
Okay.
Because when the monarch lays her eggs, when it starts to emerge, it eats the egg casing first. Then it starts eating the plant. And so a question after one of my butterfly programs was, well, does the caterpillar eat the plant? And I said, absolutely, that's its job. But it never kills the plant. It may look, you know, like it's decimated, but it'll grow back.
Mm-hmm. Kathy, good morning. Welcome to Garden Talk with special guest Julie West and Dave Fazio. Hi.
Yeah, hi. It's good to talk to you again. I haven't spoken to you for quite a while, but I got so interested in your conversation and your information about the monarch butterflies and the bees, And where I live, it's actually just a block from where Austin Creek flows into the Russian River. It's a small area that's called Russian River Meadows. It's where Ryan's Beach is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we have on our street, it's lined with poplar trees. And about 2 or 3 years ago, I can't remember exactly, but I can recall going out into my yard, which is quite large. My house is on almost an acre. But I heard this humming noise, this very loud humming noise, and I thought, what is that? So I walked towards my front gate, and lo and behold, we have English ivy that somehow took root and is growing up the poplar tree there. But it was swarming with bees, and there were monarch butterflies intermingled with the bees, and I was absolutely stunned because we hadn't seen a butterfly around here in a long, long time. And so for the last couple of years, in the late summer, the same phenomenon happens. And I go out there, and there are all the bees and all the butterflies.
Is this unusual, Julie?
Well, I think they're migrating. If it's in the late summer.
It's in the late summer, yes.
Yeah. So they're starting to head towards, you know, south or, you know, along our coast where they overwinter. And they usually overwinter within 3 miles of our coast in a ravine. There's natural protection from wind and weather and that type of thing. So they may be migrating. My uncle is in Iowa one time. He woke up one day and he had these two mountain ash trees in his backyard. And he happened to notice, oh, my God, they're orange. And they were full of monarchs migrating to Mexico.
Okay, well, I had a feeling they were migrating because it seems to me they would be going south.
Yep.
The only other time I had a kind of a butterfly phenomenon was a few years before that, and I was out in my yard, and all of a sudden I looked up, and there was this huge stream of almost a lilac-colored butterfly, and they were thousands of them coming in a stream. And I got so excited, I ran next door to my neighbors, and I said, you've got to come out and look at this. I've never seen anything like it. Well, I've never seen anything since like that.
There was a year where the painted ladies, evidently it was a wet year in the desert, and a lot of their larval plants were down in Southern California. And there was a phenomenon where this incredible migration of painted ladies came north, and we just watched them. We were sitting by our garage and just watched every few seconds one came through. It was absolutely incredible. And you're right, that's the only time I've ever seen that happen.
Kathy?
I just wanted to comment that they do come here now every year. So
that's fabulous.
Thank you so much, Kathy. A wonderful hearing your story. We'll go out to Forestville, and then we're going to jet out to Casadero for more butterfly stories on Garden Talk. You're listening to KSRO.
This is the North Bay's home of Oakland Raiders play-by-play. News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Time is running out for Sonoma drivers to get up to an extra $5,000 in incentives to drive an electric vehicle. The Sonoma Clean Power Drive Evergreen Program offers tax credits, rebates, and thousands in cash incentives in an effort to put more electric vehicles on Sonoma County roads and reduce emissions. Call 545-7050 now to see how much you can qualify for. By using the $7,500 federal tax credit and the California state rebate of $2,500 or more, you can almost have the entire cost of a Nissan Leaf covered by this program. You must act fast. Due to the popularity of the Nissan Leaf, an eco-friendly, zero-emission vehicle that's fun to drive and eliminates gas expenses, inventory is going very fast. Jimbo Nissan of Santa Rosa is the exclusive host of the Drive Evergreen program on Nissan Leaf vehicles. Call now to claim your share of funding. The number is 545-7050. Call 545-7050, but hurry. This program ends January 5th. You can register online at driveev.org or visit Jimbo Nissan of Santa Rosa on Santa Rosa Avenue. Full program details and limitations available at driveev.org. Not all residents will qualify. See dealer for details.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market won the Best Sonoma County Farmers Market Award by the Press Democrats Reader's Choice. To find out why, shop the market for your holiday feasts. Enjoy selections of fresh and organic greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, and walnuts. Meet the local ranchers who offer a variety of quality meats from beef, chicken, and pork to quail and rabbit. Choose fresh fish and crab from a variety of seafood vendors and sample local dairy products. Everything you need to create the freshest holiday dinners is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Remember to check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Budweiser presents an important message about friendship.
You and me, we were made for love. A lifetime is not long enough to show you what you mean to me. Ooh, I'll be waiting here for you when you come home.
I'll see you later, buddy.
Budweiser knows your friends are counting on you. So, we want you to remember to make a plan to make it home every time you go out. Do whatever it takes to get home safely. Call a friend, arrange for a cab, or designate a driver. Because friends are waiting.
Hey, I'm sorry. You decided I shouldn't drive home last night. I stayed at Dave's.
When you come
home, I'm back. I'm back. Yeah, I'm back.
This message is brought to you by your friends at Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Good morning, Tony. Welcome to Garden Talk. You're on with Dave Fazio and Julie West. Hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. This summer we had butterflies all over our yard and the neighborhood because I think it's because the neighbor planted a passion flower on the fence.
Yes.
And one question is, do you know the type of butterfly that is attracted to that flower?
It's a Gulf fritillary. That is its larval plant.
Say again.
It's a Gulf fritillary, and that is the passion vine is the larval plant for Gulf fritillaries. And I guess climate change came to our garden. I've had a passion vine for 10 or 15 years, and for the first time last year, we had Gulf fritillaries.
Oh.
We've never had Gulf fritillaries. But we have a ton of them now. Well, not at this moment, but we've had them the last two summers.
So there's the answer to your question, Tony.
And also, I went over to the neighbors, and she said, look, all over my house, all over the tools, all over the fence, they lay their larvae. They're not on plants, some of them. Is that normal?
No, that's probably their chrysalis.
Oh.
They lay their eggs on the plant because the caterpillar has to emerge and eat the plant to be able to go through metamorphosis. But once it's reached its last instar, it crawls away usually from the larval plant. If you've ever been to Louise Hallberg's house, she has chrysalis of pipevine swallowtails all over her place. They're on her foundation. They're on her under a windowsill. They're everywhere. But then it's when they emerge from their chrysalis, they're an adult butterfly.
So there's the answer, Tony.
And is there a list of plants that are specific to butterflies?
Absolutely. And I'm going to email that to Steve when I get home.
And we're going to put it on the KSRO Garden website.
Yes. There's a list of both larval and nectar plants.
Thanks so much for your call, Tony. We only have about 45 seconds left, but I want to go out to Casadero. Randy, go. Butterflies, tell us. Hey, Randy. Hi.
Hello. Hi. Yes. I was wondering about the how well the eggs from the monarch are attached to the milkweed. We have milkweed. We put a bunch in last year. And we had the same aphid problem that everybody else apparently had. And we didn't know how well the eggs were attached to the plants, whether or not we would wash them off with a strong spray.
Good question. Okay.
If you find a butterfly egg, a monarch egg, you would not want to wash the plant.
Oh.
Because, I mean, the female, it's a little sticky to it. But it's not, it wouldn't, I don't think it would withstand a sharp spray of water. Yeah. It would come off with the aphids.
You agree, Dave? So avoid doing that.
Yep.
Okay, thanks for your call. We're out of time, but thanks for your call, Randy.